is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
On today's podcast, we catch up with just an up-and-comer called Rachel Griffith.
No. Oh, big time.
No, how good is that?
That is. My old landlady comes by to get the bond, Gretel Colleen.
Aussie rapper Illy drops in with his new song as well.
And we talk about people who look a little dodgy because they're super nervous. What are they up to?
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
Okay, there's a story that we've all been following, and a story like this affects the rest of us.
Yes.
Because Coles now are going to be monitoring the 12 items or less aisle.
What they're saying is that if you want to go through the self-checkout, you can only do it if you've got 12 items or less. They're going to trial that in some stores because
people
of things like
stuff.
This.
Right. Okay, so this is the story of the woman who came up with a really ingenious way of ripping off Coles and Woolworths. She did it over a fair few months, and she stole $4,500 worth of food. And this is how she did it. She took the barcodes off of Mee Goreng noodle packets.
Yes. Which cost next to nothing.
72 cents each. Mm-hmm. And she printed those out as stickers, and then when she was going through the shops putting stuff into her trolley, she would put the barcodes over the original barcodes, and then when she was at the checkout, she would scan them.
Actually, ingenious. Yeah, really clever. Really well thought out.
Wrong.
Wrong.
But
clever.
I would never think to do
you
that.
You would never think to
I'm
do
not
that. She has pled guilty to 31 counts of fraud, 3 counts of attempted fraud, and 1 count of possessing a drug-related utensil that was in a handbag.
Okay.
So she's come out and said that she was bankrupt and she was trying to feed her daughter. Her husband left her, and that's really sad, and that pulls on your heartstrings.
Of course.
Where it sort of falls down for me was, firstly, you can't do that. That's stealing. And secondly, she put 72 cents on two $200 coffee machines.
Oh, to feed her family.
72 cents and then walked out with $200 coffee.
Yeah, sure.
Also, the drug implement in a handbag.
Yeah,
that's not feeding your family either.
Yeah, it isn't. So this is the really spinny part where she was...
How'd she get caught?
She got caught because she was acting super nervous at the checkout. Now, they actually had done some stock take and thought, why are we selling so many packets of Mee Goreng noodles?
Yes.
And why are there still so many on the shelves?
Yep.
So they got alerted to that. She got done by... the thing that brought her down was like a $27 rump steak. I don't know, mate.
rump steak.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Anyway, so that's what got her down. But yeah, basically they were watching her and she was acting super nervous, and that's when they knew it was her. So then they went up there and they caught her. So
I wonder, was she sweating? Was she fidgety? I wonder how she looked in that time.
She sort of got caught earlier on because they came over and they saw that something was scanned at a price lower, and then she blamed it on the store and went, oh, well, that must be a mistake on your end, and she hightailed it out of there. So then the manager was sort of cottoned onto the fact that this was happening.
Something wasn't quite right.
And then when she came in, she must have seen that they were watching her, and she must have been midway through, and then she was acting
sweating
really
bullets.
Nervous. So, I mean, the lesson here is, well, two lessons. Don't do crime. Second lesson, don't act nervous.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
A lady was sprung rorting the self-checkout system in a rather ingenious but criminal way.
Well said.
And the thing that tipped the staff off was the fact that she looked super nervous.
Yeah.
Super nervous. And she was passing off $200 coffee machines as 72-cent Mee Goreng noodles.
It's crazy.
See, if you want to treat the system, don't do it that low.
No, oh, Sean. I mean,
that's just ridiculous.
If you want to get away with things, just calm your nerves, everybody. Bonnie's in High Wycombe. Hi, Bon.
Hello, Nathan. How are
you? Good, honey. Good,
Bonnie. We're talking about when you spot somebody looking super nervous. What were they up to?
Oh, super nervous. I used to work at a bigger liquor store.
Yeah.
I won't mention which one.
Yep.
And we used to have a lot of people used to borrow liquor, you know, without paying for it.
Oh, yeah. Like a library.
They bring it back later, obviously, because they're borrowing. It's a library.
Yes. But there was this one particular lady. We were at the back watching on the screen. And she put two bottles of Jack Daniels down her pants. Leggings on. So, you know, when leggings are a little bit, you know, tight and then.
Leggings? She had leggings on.
Yeah, 100 mils of, you know, Jack's in your legs, and that by the time she got to go through the registers to try and pinch out, they'd actually dropped down to her knees.
How did she try to pass that off?
The knock knee together, you know. So.
Oh my God.
So clearly she was sprung and the bottles of Jack Daniels were removed from her leg.
How nervous would you be if they started dropping down?
I can guarantee you I didn't get them out.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Oh, no.
I understand if you're trying to shove stuff down your happy pants, but leggings?
Leggings? I mean, really.
Yeah.
Choose your pants wisely and don't do crime.
Yeah, and don't make nervous.
Bex in Harrisdale. Hi, Bex.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Bex.
Now, Bex, we're talking about when people are acting super nervous. Are you a nervous person?
I am. I'm a very nervous person. So my partner is very health conscious and he works away, but whenever he's back, I can't eat any junk food.
Yes.
So Easter being around the corner and a lot of shops having Easter eggs out, my one love is, of course, chocolate. So when he's home, if I feel like chocolate, I go out and buy it and then I sneak it into the house and hide it in my cupboard in my bedroom.
Yes.
And then if he is in the house, I can't eat it, obviously, but if he like pops outside or, you know, goes to do something, I'll run into the cupboard and I'll quickly eat an Easter egg and then I'll like keep scoffing my face until I hear him coming back in and then I'll hide it all back away and then I'll walk out as if like nothing's happening.
Is he on to you though, Bec, if you're, you know?
Because of like your brown lips.
I don't think so. Sometimes he'll come in and he'll be like looking at me a bit weirdly as if he'll be like, what have you been doing?
Hey, Bec.
I can't help myself because I really like chocolate,
Bec.
And he'll frown on me if I eat it in front of him.
Okay, so I just want to. Can you tell me how you're feeling when he's outside? And you're, is your heart pounding? Are you
Yeah. I'll like be sitting there, like I buy the little solid chocolate eggs, and I'll be sitting there in my bedroom, like in the walk-in robe, scoffing my face. And then if I hear like the door slam shut, he always slams the door.
Yes.
I like quickly like shove it all the wrappers. You have to put all the wrappers back in because you have to hide the rubbish.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then like shove it under clothes in the drawer, and then I'll just like turn the bedroom light on or something, and then just walk out or flush the toilet.
Like, and just straighten up the doona like you're making the bed or something.
I love the way you go about this.
Bec,
are you when he's away for work, are you just passed out in the lounge with a giant Toblerone right in your mouth?
He leaves, the first thing I do is, because I have a shopping centre over the road from me, which doesn't help.
No.
I'll walk over, and especially when the chocolate's on sale, I'll just buy a whole heap of chocolate and shove it in the fridge, and then I'll just sit there and watch Netflix and eat.
Well, how long's the swing? Do you get a couple of weeks to yourself doing this?
I go almost every day. He's away for about 2 weeks, so for that 2 week period, I just go crazy, and then when he's back, I act all really health conscious.
So what do you do after Easter? Because obviously, you know, your weakness at the moment is the solid little eggs. Mm. But after Easter, do you have another chocolate of choice?
I do like the Cadbury Oreo block or the Top Jet block. But I used to stock up on Easter eggs. So I have a deep freeze. So I used to go and buy them when they're all gone on sale. And then I'd shove them all in the deep
freeze. You can't freeze Easter eggs.
Oh. But
it's the only way to prolong.
Yeah, mate, but I'm worried about your safety. He's going to come in quick one day. You're going to break your jaw.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
Looking for love in all the wrong underpants.
Yep.
It's the name of the show put on by Gretel Colleen, who's here in the house. Gretel, welcome.
Super title. Gretel,
super title.
If anyone ever wants to blame anyone for my career, it's this woman.
I know. What a joy. How many years have we been chatting?
Oh, I know.
10,
I know. More. 13, 14 years?
Oh,
yeah.
And you all look the same.
Thanks. So do you.
Yeah, thank God for lighting.
Yeah.
I know. We were just talking off air about the show, which is about love.
Yeah.
And single people, I am single and I'm tired of being maligned.
I know.
For those who don't know what that word means, it means horrible things said about you as though you're a loser.
People, like, that's like they pat you like you're a sick kitten.
Oh, there must be someone out there for you, Nathan.
I don't know where.
Oh, no, there's not. No, we've.
But I think some people in relationships like to think about the feeling it was to be single. Like, for me, it would be spending my own money.
That would be a win.
I hope not. Coming home and not being told what I have to do or what needs to be done.
Yeah. But this is the weird thing. I wrote an article about it around Valentine's Day last week, because there's all this, there's this assumption you're going to be in a couple. And if you're not, you know what one woman said to me?
What?
It must be like, I don't know, like, you know when you were at school and they picked people for sports? It must be like you haven't
been
chosen.
You're being picked last.
I thought, I can never speak to you again.
No, I feel like, I'm going to flip that around and say, no, it's like you're the coach of the team and you're not playing the game. Because when you are single, you have the best relationship advice for everybody.
Oh, yes.
You have no context.
No, that's true. Talk the leg off an iron pot and haven't got a clue and no responsibility. And I've got insurance now, so I can advise people. And if their life is ruined, I just say, I'll sign here.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. No.
Perfect.
So I'm loving doing that, but I got very angry. And then, of course, there were all these issues with, we've got a new premier in New South Wales and she's single. Yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, that was shocking, wasn't it?
How can you run a state if you don't know what it's like to be married? Oh, hello. And then as a single mother, there was another one, a One Nation politician, who said that it was too lazy to keep a mate.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Like, I'm just out smoking crack and plaiting my hair.
The hardest working people I know are single mothers, because it's so much harder for
it's
them.
So
it's so ridiculous.
Hard. And there are tremendously successful people who are single. God was single. I just like to point out later.
That's a good point.
Yes, no, he was.
And some say Jesus was, some say he wasn't, but they're the married people. So, oh, no, he couldn't have all those followers if he was single.
Hey, any actual people?
Oh, no, we're going to have pickers outside this room pretty quickly. My grandma will be going off over that comment. Anyway, Gretel, one of the things is about being single, though. At the start, though, it's pretty cool and all the rest of it. But as time goes by, that's when people judge you harshly.
Oh, yeah.
So you've gone past the point of enjoying being single, and now you just haven't got anyone.
Well, but I think that's the weird assumption, because at my age, like, and I think this is for many people, they have to deal with the prejudice of it.
Yeah.
It's like girls who get married and suddenly, where are your children?
Yeah. Yes.
And they're loaded with answering other people's expectations and questions. And, of course, if they don't have children, suddenly they're described as selfish. You know, what's wrong with you? Deeply personal issue. But, oh, everybody's got judgment about that. I really want people to understand that, for a start, single people may be complete and utter weirdos. Mm. We might be. But we're not necessarily better or worse.
No.
It's not necessarily a permanent state.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is the richness of all the other people in your lives.
Exactly.
That a soulmate might be terrific, but for many of us, I actually don't want that potato man sitting on my couch being a loser. I don't want him there.
I can't come in your house, Sean.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's your nature.
Do you want to hear the worst thing that's ever been said to me,
right?
Okay. And this is the weirdest thing. We talk about it all the time, okay? I was planning a trip to go away and I was booking a hotel room.
Yeah.
And the chick that I was booking it through, she turns around and she goes, "What sort of room do you want?" And I said, "Well, I just want, a nice room in like a nicely located place so I can just go out and have the shops outside." I said, "But what I definitely need is I want a balcony." And she said, I quote, "Why do you want a balcony? You're single."
And did you say, to jump?
Oh, wait. Yeah. I said, single people like fresh air too.
I went,
can you even get over that?
She think like people in a couple are doing on the balcony.
I know.
That's to the exclusion of people who are single.
I went to a doctor and they asked me what my relationship status was.
Yeah.
I said, why is that relevant? This was in inner city Sydney.
Yeah.
Why is that relevant? She said, it's for sexual diseases and things. And I thought, you are an idiot if you seriously think that someone being married is going to stop them being promiscuous or having other relations. No, like it was just like more of a... So what I wanted to do...
So then if you're single, she puts her gloves on.
She did. And an oxygen mask. It was terrifying. But so I think it's important. This is not what the show's about. The show's just a huge romp about all the disastrous love things in my life and in all of ours, in all of our lives. But I did want to celebrate your friends, the deep relationships that you have. Have you got friends, Nathan?
I've got several. I love my friends, and I'm super close to my mother and father, and I get along with them really well. And I just love to go back to something that Sean was saying earlier. I love the fact that, and Gretel, you'll get this as well. Maybe not because your kids aren't living with you anymore, are they?
No, they're 100.
Okay, yes. They are. So I love the fact that I can at home leave my wallet out. and then come back several days later and all the money is still in it.
What can you even imagine? Miracle!
Sean can't even comprehend that happening.
The best part, we caught up, we were at a do last night, and I had to be the boss with my kids and, you know, forking out money, getting them stuff and all the rest of it. Uncle Nathan over there was just telling them to do the most unbelievable things that I'd never let them get away with.
Well, I was dad ever. They were up these stairs, and I said, hey, and they said, can we drop our bottle of soft drink over the stairs? And I went, yes. And then, they did, and then they said, can we shake it up? And I said, that's a great idea. And then they said, should we open it? And I said, I think that's wonderful. And then it sprayed all over them. And I said, is that bad? And I said, it's great.
And so, you just get to walk away.
I get to walk away.
By the way, they were going mental when they got home from having all that pitching.
Yeah, how old are they? With it.
I've got a 6, 15, 10, 9, and a 6.
It took a bit of effort remembering.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's been hitting the head a lot.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
Gretel Colleen is in the house.
Yay.
Yay. Yay. Well, we're just talking about Ed Sheeran and, you know, we're talking about how he was on the project with you and then you saw him the next night on Ellen and stuff like that, and his life's amazing.
He's a busy guy. And we were talking about wealth.
Yes.
Yes.
And what was it that Adele is earning?
$850,000 a show.
All right. Well, that is a bit too much. They've done psychological studies, okay, on what is the optimum amount of money. You know how they say money doesn't make you happy.
Yes.
In our kind of society, ours in Western, in America, 70,000.
70,000?
Is the optimum amount. So if when you reach 70,000, you're happy. So you're unhappy.
What do you mean? What do you mean
happiness?
What are you saved to 70 grand? Or
No.
People, because there are many people listening who wouldn't necessarily be earning that.
So if you earn less,
when they
you're unhappy.
So 70,000, that's where you're going to be happy. And after 70,000, you end up with a whole lot of new problems.
Oh.
Isn't that? It's so. There was
Sean's
a guy
face.
In America.
I need 5 million. 70 grand.
Yeah, but you see, this is
the
problem.
Problems,
so there was a guy. You're so interesting. I just look at you and I think, oh, there's a gold mine. I just want to know everything. So there was a guy in America, I don't know if you came across him, where he decided within his own company, which was very, very successful. Do you remember that high-tech one?
Yes.
He reduced his income to 70,000 and lifted everyone else's to 70. Because that was the optimum.
Really?
But didn't the company go bust? Like, didn't they have problems?
But they're happy.
But they were happily living on the street.
Look at her, the little evil. Oh,
there was a follow-up, I think. There were business problems
in
with
your
it.
Wicked mind, there was.
70,000. I don't know, Sean.
But in that case, if that was me, right, so then I'd have the company credit card, which you'd be paying. So my wage would be $70,000, but I'd have the gold card.
The premise, Sean, is that you live more simply. So you're not going to be living the life you're living now in the house you're in now on $70,000. But
designer brands.
Dripping
and rip curl.
Look at me.
I know.
Designer brands everywhere.
Designer t-shirt.
Yeah.
But they also did a study of Australians, and the happiest relationships were, they weren't university educated. They were people in trades.
Yeah, right.
So
what about if one's in a trade and one's university educated? Because that's what's happening in our house.
Are we half good? There's a happy person living with misery guts, basically.
But I have to say, there's something going on in Perth.
Yeah.
Because you know I live in Sydney, but I've been over here a lot of times. Like, what is this? What is the state slogan? Is it, we love hugging?
Gretel, you know why? No one comes over here.
So happy to have anyone here.
The hugging is, like, you can almost get one when you order a coffee.
We're really
affectionate. Can I have a hug? I walked in here, the security guard's giving me a hug.
Yep, Sean was on your leg.
We don't even have a security guard, so I don't know who that was.
Well, he was taking the computers, so.
So when you're doing the rounds at other places, doing interviews, it's not a first thing that people might do. It's more of a shake of a hand.
Oh, you wouldn't hug.
What do you mean?
I mean, in Sydney, you'd have to be checked for arms.
Yeah. There'd be a bit of an air kiss. Would they be air kiss people?
Not a hug. A hug is a particular. And of course, I was raised as a Methodist.
Yep.
So, you know, they don't like human contact at all in any way whatsoever, in case it leads to something disastrous. So I had to learn to hug in my whole life. And now I'm here and it's like overdosing.
We need it. How did that learning process go?
You sat, like, did somebody sit you down and say, this is what you do? You put your arms out.
I had
and
to
like
study people. Because even in my family, like, even when a relative of mine was dying and I said to them, I love you, they said ditto. Oh my God. I kid you not, because
when they were dying.
Imagine, I don't think my parents have ever hugged me in my life.
When you're dying, you want to say everything that you need to say. Yeah. And ditto is an
it. You think so. But no, and so I've had to practice with people. Mm. Yeah. And
well, you did a good job. Like, as we all hugged you.
I'm really conscious. I do it with one arm. I do it a bit restrained. And I don't know which parts of your body can touch, because I know I'm terribly attractive.
Well, boys
to
have
men.
To. No,
that's true.
Yeah, of course. You can't do the doodle push. Like, you can't, Sean. You know that. Like,
I tried on you.
But there's a height difference, isn't there?
Yeah.
So there would be doodle navel.
Yeah, Sean loves that. But no, I think with us, we over here in WA, not many people come over here. And when they do, we want to make them feel welcome. You know what I mean? Gretel, over in Sydney, people are used to seeing you around. You never come over here.
Oh, so you think it's personal? I thought it was like a state thing.
Oh, no, we do it to everyone. We just, I mean, for me personally, it's the only human contact I get.
I know. Suddenly being proud to be single is looking really tragic, isn't it? Sorry.
He's blowing your theory.
I know.
On every front.
I'm going to go out and get a boyfriend.
And you can do it just like that if you want to.
Hey,
do.
Would
some
you,
people do.
Would you ever go on Tinder?
No, but I do know some high, you know, recognisable people who go on
that
Tinder.
Spins me
and
out.
Well, Shane Warne was one who jumped on there that made the media. He did. Yeah, hooked up with a chick in Adelaide.
Really?
Yep.
What are you thinking? I mean, it's not hard to attract losers. It's attracting worthwhile people. Yeah, I don't mean that in a judgmental way.
Yeah. That doesn't mean show name. It's not hard to attract losers.
But you know what I mean. Yeah. It's finding the ones that you personally find interesting or stimulating or hilarious or whatever. On Tinder, I mean, everybody I know who's on Tinder is just doing it for the sex, I must say.
Yeah.
Mm. And some have got married through online dating.
Yeah.
Which I still dismiss as ridiculous, but that's because I'm old-fashioned. I like the old-fashioned, hello, how are you? And then I look at them angrily.
Yeah, and don't hug.
And then if they respond, I think, oh, you're a survivor.
So do people, like if you're out having a drink in a bar, for example, do men approach you?
They do weird things. And also, as you get a little bit older / wiser, so I'm wiser, you do become a bit invisible. So I have to wear like a high-vis vest. We'll go out for a drink.
So if you see Gretel in a high-vis vest, she is up for it.
Yeah.
So bear that in mind.
And I think a lot of guys would just like to be with Gretel, so then when they break up, she can say, it's time to go, Jeffrey.
No, they just disappear. That's the modern thing.
Oh, yeah, I know. They're ghosting.
Ghost.
Yeah.
Ghosting. Patrick Swayze.
Mm. All this and more
this
in Gretel's show, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Underpants. It's on at the State Theatre. Tickets from ticketek.com.au. How many shows have you got? So tonight?
Tonight's the last one, and then I fly back to Sydney.
Hurry up, everybody.
Yeah, I know.
And everyone, if you see her, hug her. She loves her. She loves her. This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
Time to talk to Australian entertainment royalty.
Oh, we love her.
Oh, my God.
Well said.
Rachel Griffiths, good morning.
Good morning.
Rachel, you're the best. Like, we just love
how
you.
How is it over there in Perth?
It's all right.
It's pretty good.
We're not having a proper,
very early.
We're not having a proper summer over here, I can tell you that much. It's like raining
all
the time.
Like, do you wake up and swim at 6 a.m. in Perth, or is it too scary?
Well, there's so many sharks over here, Rachel.
People do, but, you know, they're a bit...
Yeah.
I mean,
they're a bit bitten.
Yeah.
No, you always Rach, you're always swimming amongst a group, and you're really hoping you're the person in the middle of the pack.
And also, the safest thing to do, Rachel, is just take a little knife in case you see a shark and cut the person next to you, and then just swim away from them. So there you go. There's a survival tip.
Because one would absolutely have the calmness of mind to do that.
Of course you would. Of course you would. Hey, Rach, how's it been for you being back in Australia, making the move full time? You know, about a year ago.
It's a little bit over that. Good. Yeah, good. Look, it's been a good time to come back and be on this side of the world and hang out with family. I've got to do some really great work, actually. I think we're making really world-class stuff here at the moment. You know, Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah, that was a ripper.
That's done okay. Did Barracuda last year. That was also very good. And I'm trying to get my Michelle Payne movie up. So,
yes.
It's a good place to be.
Yeah. We just, before we get into your new project, which is super important, I think it's going to be amazing. Can we just thank you for 6 Feet Under and Brothers and Sisters? Like, two of our favourite series
you brought joy.
Ever.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
It is kind of an interesting to kind of track those two shows, you know, coming up to the show I've just done, When We Rise, because, you know, Six Feet Under was really a very seminal show in kind of having this gay character that was really just part of the regular family. And we got to, you know, understand, you know, he was in the closet. It was very painful for him. He was, you know, the oldest boy in the all-American family. And I think that was a huge breakthrough moment. And then 5 years later, we have, you know, Brothers and Sisters. I have another gay brother in that show. And again, you know, it's not about him being gay. He is loved and included and happens to be gay and also, you know, happens to be a really, you know, really good in business. And then we're coming to this show, which is that, you know, the first show was on cable and you had to be on cable to do, you know, that material that was, you know, so new. And then Brothers and Sisters was on ABC. This next miniseries or television event, because it's eight episodes in America, it's airing in 1 week, you know, sequentially every night. And the last show that ABC America did, which is commercial for people that don't know, was Roots back in the 70s.
Yeah, right.
It's a big event. And it's a celebration of and an acknowledgement of the heroes of the gay, lesbian, transgender civil rights movement, 1978 to 2008. Guy Pearce is starring. There's two casts. So we meet these, you know, they're kids. They're 17, they're 18. Yeah. They're coming out. You know, their families are disowning them. The police are beating them up. The religious right is saying if you're gay, you can't be in schools. Oh. Children are being removed from their mothers who, you know, have come out as lesbians.
Unbelievable.
It's a really, really terrible time. And then we're the older cast. We're the young ones called us the old me's. Lovely.
The cast is huge, though. Like,
the cast is
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah,
Mary Louise Parker.
Everybody. Because it's, you know, Gus Van Sant, coolest director ever.
Yep.
And Dustin Lance Black, who won the Oscar for Milk. And his understanding of American history is just amazing. But he creates these wonderful characters. So we follow them from 17 all the way into their 60s. I play from like 30 to 60 at the end. And it culminates in, you know, my character, Diane, marrying her partner of, you know, almost 40 years. So it's a beautiful, beautiful series. And I think it's what the world needs right now.
Oh, it's on SBS too, everyone.
It needs it right now, and it needs it here in Australia. I mean, we just saw the news. I think it's in, is it New Zealand that the convictions against gay men has now been overturned? And that's now. Like, it's crazy because it was illegal, Sean, for them to be gay.
That has blown me away.
It's taken us
that.
So long to get all these.
They were convicted.
To decriminalise. Yeah. And even, you know, the thing about When We Rise is to make heroes of. And I think one of the great gay heroes that history just ground into the ground and pretended didn't exist was the wonderful, you know, Alan Turing, who pretty much beat the Nazis. You know, he was gay.
In a fabulous way.
He pretty much beat the Nazis. And when, you know, he was arrested in one of these, you know, anonymous sex moments, I think, post-war, the entire apparatus sought to bury him and his coding machine that cracked the codes and the U-boats, which really turned the war. And that is a great example of, of where our gay heroes were just obliterated as soon as it was obvious they were gay. So this show is, you know, is really about honouring that. And in our country, I mean, we were one of the first countries in the world to give women the vote. We've been at the forefront of so many great advances in democracy, this country, you know, the lucky fair country, and this issue of marriage equalities. Oh. I think it's just a stone. People who don't want it say it's a distraction. You know, if you're 70 and you can't marry the person you've been with for 50 years, that's not a distraction. That's a key issue of your life. And if I had the government telling me I couldn't marry my husband, you know, I'm sorry, that's not a side issue. That's like would be the most pressing issue in my life.
No, it's sad. And I think that as Australians, we're embarrassed about this at the moment. Yep. And I mean, I know that it's probably just the people that we hang out with, but the majority, well, actually everybody that I speak to want it's marriage equality.
It's a non-issue. Like, to it's me, a it's non-issue. We shouldn't even be arguing about it. It should just happen. Like, I
think, you know, look, there is an age divide, and I think it's up, you know, it's up to us and for young people to really explain to older people who can't imagine it, you know, why it's okay. You know, I was watching the women's AFL the other day, and my husband, he loved it. I mean, we've got he's got two daughters. He thinks it's wonderful, but he kept laughing. And I just said, why, you know, why are you laughing? He said, it's funny. You know, I mean, it's not, but it was slightly that, like, he never thought in his lifetime that he'd be watching girls play AFL on television.
Yeah, it's prime time, and it's killing it.
In prime time. And, you know, it's not. He's not like he's against it, but there's still that change is a little slow, and I think, you know, the older generation just can't quite imagine how it's all happened so quickly. So I think it's up to us to keep having civil conversations and, you know, remind the 75-year-old ladies, you know, who might be against gay marriage, to say, well, you know, once upon a time, you know, a guy was against your mum voting.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to take it in a history context, and I think the young are very much on board with this issue, and it's going to be their country.
Yeah. All right, get into politics.
Yep. Yes.
No.
Yeah. Do it.
Let's all stop denying other groups things.
Yeah. We couldn't agree more. We're all on the same page, right?
Let's put some cream on it and share it around and lick our lips and look at each other smugly.
Yes, exactly. When We Rise is a part of SBS 2017 Mardi Gras season. It'll be available on SBS On Demand from March 1st. Rachel
Griffiths.
All
you hackers, why don't you pay for it? You can gorge it the first night. It comes online, just go for it, pay for it, gorge it, binge it. And
I love it.
And it feels good to pay for content.
Yeah, of course it does.
Yeah, it's like when you pay for your supermarket groceries. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Don't
recommend
steal it.
Just like that.
Yeah, don't steal it. Don't steal it.
Thanks for talking to us, Rach. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
All right, Sean, this is one of those opportunities where we are interviewing someone and automatically we're going to feel way less cool.
There's
than we
no
think
doubt
we
about
are.
It.
He's coming to a show at Metropolis Fremantle on Saturday, the 25th of March. Hey, Illy.
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
We're going all right. Frankston's finest, they say, Illy. You know what? When I
they do.
Everyone.
I used to used to play footy many years ago. And one of the first guys that ever came over to join my team was a guy from Frankston, Dean Granger, and he went back to live there as soon as he finished up at my footy team. He went straight back there to the old hood.
It's a hell of a place, man.
So, what's Frankston all about? Talk to me about Frankston.
Well, I'm actually from the Frankston train line, so it's like the southern suburbs of Melbourne. It's nice, man. It's along the bay, you know, good blue-collar people.
Yeah, definitely.
Getting by, doing their thing. Yeah, it's good, man.
Yeah, right, because usually you think rapper, Eminem, you come from a crimey place. so is Frankston not crimey at all?
It has its moments. It's probably not exactly a mile, but yeah.
Well, I don't know. I come from Kalgoorlie, mate, so we're sort of all over the shop.
You know.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about. I just don't rap.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Ellie, this is the first time we've got a chance to speak to you. When you got up and going by yourself as a solo artist, when did you start really hitting it big and know you're on something pretty cool?
It's been really gradual, man. I guess, like, the last album I put out had a song called Tightrope on it, which that was probably the real sort of crossover breakthrough moment. I mean, from playing, you know, I started out playing shows to like 10, 15 people, man. So every time it's sort of gone up, it's really felt like a big step, you know? So I guess the last few years with that sort of more mainstream success has been pretty clear cut. But for me, it's been going a long time, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah. How do you feel when you see like mothers of four singing your songs while driving their kids to school? That's pretty funny, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not what I would have imagined when I started out rapping, but I've always loved melody and writing those big choruses and just never really had the confidence to do it. I was too worried about what people were going to say. So seeing that response, man, like I love it, dude. Like anyone that's going to support my music, I don't really care if they're the cool kids or if they're the parents of kids, you know. It's I love them all the same.
We were reading some things before that said that something about you having a law degree, but earlier on in the in the conversation, it talked about you being terrible at school.
Yeah.
Is that the case? So you were no good at school, and then you did some tests later on when you left, and then went along to do a law degree.
Or are all lawyers just shitly educated? <That's> the- Yeah, put that in a wrap.
I messed up at school. I didn't really care, and I spent like a year out of school doing like furniture removals, working in a factory, and realized I kind of a bit.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I sat a couple of tests, and I got in, and I got my ass kicked for the first year, and then I sort of buckled down and ended up doing all right. Yeah.
Why did you choose law then?
Yeah.
Because it was the only course that I could get into with the exam, man. Like, So it was either that or stay in the factory. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll probably not stay in the factory. Thanks. Yeah.
But you've joined the gang. I'm in the gang of people that don't use their law. University degrees. I don't use my university degree. I'm a graphic designer, and this is what I do for a
right.
Long. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Dude, I'm 5 albums in now. I'm totally unemployable.
But then again, how good would it be for you to be defending someone and just rap it? I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it sounds like a cool idea, but I don't think a judge is going to look favorably on rhyming defense.
I tell you what, though, mate, I had to do jury duty for like a week, right, on this big full-on trial here just last year. And I swear to God, the jury would appreciate it. That is the most boring thing that I've ever sat through.
Right. That's a lot of rapping, though.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so if I'm to get your password and log on to your Netflix account and then check on my list, what are you watching right now?
I just finished watching The OA.
Oh, my God. Isn't that amazing? It's this blind girl that goes missing for however many years, and then she comes back and she's not blind, and then you find out what happened to her. But it doesn't really answer it at the end of the season, does it?
No, it doesn't, man. I'm glad that you knew that, because I wouldn't have been able to explain it as well as you just did.
I felt like I was there.
But yeah. Yeah, it was, I just finished watching that like a couple of nights ago. I love that this interview's turned into like a promo for The OA. Everyone should get on Netflix and watch The OA.
Oh, watch The OA. And one thing we've noticed as well, because we had a chat with Amy Sharp just not long ago, and we found out that she loves Stranger Things.
Yeah, that's
good. And that seems to be a real hit with any musician at the moment too. So did you dig that?
I did. I actually was on a flight to LA, a couple of months ago, and was like at the bar, and a guy from Perth who's starring in the season 2. Got chatting to him. Yeah, he's like a young dude that's just moved over to LA to be in the season 2. So
Jesus.
Yeah, it was cool.
Oh, that's amazing. That's the jam, mate. 11 is the business, Sean, and you don't even know what you're talking about.
No,
right
I've got
now.
No idea, actually.
Hey, we are going to play your new single today, and I've been looking for the film clip because I love the film clip for Paperclip. So when are you doing the film clip for your new one? So, you say when?
We just finished shooting it a couple of days ago, and I imagine it'll be out in a couple of weeks. I can't wait to see it. Like, I've only seen a couple of stills, and it looks crazy, so I'm really psyched to see it as well, man. Yeah. This is Nathan, Nat, and Sean. No!